I'm Carrie Gari. Welcome to Tea Time with Tech Marketing Leaders. Welcome back to the show. So grateful y'all are here. We are live on both LinkedIn and YouTube. So if you find any issues on one or the other, feel free to pop on over and find us again. We'd love to have you. The beauty of being live is that we get to hang out with you all. So please, please, please come comment. I can't see you unless I see you. So I'm paying attention to the comments. Kinsey and I are excited for your questions. We are on it and we are pumped. So please come hang out with us. Let's do this. Kinsey, I'm so grateful you're here. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Kinsey is, she is the CMO, currently the CMO of Kirkham Iron Tech. She has worked in the IT and cybersecurity industry for the last 3 years, providing services to businesses nationwide. When she's not working on her next marketing campaign or project, you can find her at the beach doing a hike, watching her favorite show on Netflix, currently Shameless, although that we're going to get an update on that. It's going to be great. Or eating way too much sushi because girl is in Hawaii now, which we're going to get the story. We're going to get the, she's going to spill all the tea for us, folks. This is going to be wild. I'm excited. Kinsey, I did not do that intro justice. That was like the cliff notes of the cliff notes. So bring it along for us. What's your story? Where are you now? And how did you get there, especially to Hawaii? I want that one.
Yeah, so I moved out here to Honolulu, I guess, about 2.5 years ago now. I'm originally born and raised Fort Smith, Arkansas. That's where our home office is located. Of course, with COVID, you know, everyone just started working from home that March of 2020. And I was one of them. And I just didn't really see the point in staying in Arkansas once COVID kind of calmed down. I hadn't gone back in the office and my boss was cool with me, you know, staying remote because it worked. We made it work. And I just pretty much asked, you know, can I go to Hawaii? And here I am now.
Why Hawaii? Did you just like decide why not? Or was there a reason that pulled you there?
I grew up coming out here quite often. My dad did some property management. So we would just come out here on a whim. And I fell in love with the island at like 6 years old. And it was always a dream of mine to get out here. I just didn't know when it was going to be or how easy it was going to be to get here. So I'm pretty proud of myself and happy that I made it at the age that I did.
That's amazing. I've only been to Hawaii once and I met my husband while I was there. So I decided it's probably best I don't go again, you know. We'll get out there. We'll get back out there, Kinsey. It'll be amazing. We'll all sync up. Yeah. Why don't you tell us your B2B Iron Tech story? So you're CMO now, but whether marketing found you or we found marketing is an adventure for us all. So what's your story in that? Did you fall into it? Did you sign up for it? And then what was that journey along the way?
In high school, you know, my first job, I was working in retail and I kind of fell in love with sales. It was a company called Marisa's. I think they're still around. It's women's fashion clothing. And I liked how they went about their sales process. And, you know, they would want you to help the prospect or, you know, the shopper have at least 5 items. So that would be like jeans and a shirt and then bracelets and like add-ons, you know, trying to upsell. And I was like, this is kind of fun. And so coming time for me to like pick a degree for college, I was like, why not try out marketing? You know, social media is a big thing right now. It's on the rise. I enjoy social media. So I was like, why not? Let's just go for it and see how I like it. And I fell in love with the marketing classes. I had a blast. I went to a great school in Fort Smith. And my last semester of college, I was looking for an internship in marketing so I could get my foot in the door, learn real world marketing, not just what they're teaching in the classrooms. And the university has this cool program where local businesses can reach out to the university in search of interns in a certain degree field. And so Kirkham Iron Tech was looking for someone in marketing. I got the email and I was like, I don't know much about Tiger cybersecurity, but why not? You know, let's go in for the interview. And the interview went well and I ended up getting the internship. And yeah, here I am now. It'll be 4 years in January. I'm the CMO and I've just grown with the company. It's been an absolute journey, to say the least.
Oh my gosh. I want to sit here for a second because it's a very unusual story for your first job to actually land you, not land you, because I don't know where you started, but like now you're CMO after 4 years. So let's talk about roles and responsibilities for a second. What were your roles and responsibilities when you first got the job?
Yeah, so when I first got the job, we didn't really have, we had one person doing sales, but we had two divisions when I first started. So we had an IT division and a cybersecurity division. They're now one. At that point in time, my main focus was the cybersecurity division and to get new clients for the cybersecurity division, I had tech security. And I mean, I had learned, you know, stuff in college about, you know, trying to bring in leads, but sitting down and actually trying to sell cybersecurity and tech, not knowing much about it, like it took some learning. And my boss was doing in-person presentations right before COVID hit. And I started January of 2020, COVID hit just 3 months later. So that was their main form of getting new clients in the door at that time. And so we immediately went virtual and started doing webinars. So those same presentations that he was doing, we started doing them virtually. And that's kind of how or what I started really with, I guess. And then I kind of dipped my feet into the email marketing aspect of things and hosting our own webinars. And I kind of just grew and started trying new things. What wasn't working, I stopped doing it and tried something else. And yeah, here I am now.
Oh my gosh. So where are, so let's talk about where you are now. So as CMO, are you like, it sounds like you were pretty hands-on at the beginning, like you learned email marketing on the fly. Now, what are your responsibilities in the company as this role?
I'm still doing email marketing. I love it, actually. Yeah, it's super fun. Right now I've got a sales guy that he handles all of our sales, including the president. So I guess you could say I've got two. And then I have an intern and we've hired on a client experience manager. So I am kind of bringing all of them together and putting all of those pieces together, the puzzle pieces together, because sales and marketing go hand in hand. So me and Davin, that's his name, we're a team, we're a great team. And we're constantly, you know, working on our messaging and making sure that everything is where it needs to be to hit the pain points of our prospects. I'm also now kind of the one that's like, okay, what are we going to do next? What are we going to try next? Like what's something new that's out there and upcoming that we can use to help better our business and grow as a business and get our name out there and market ourselves better.
I love the evolution. I think that's like the perfect arc of like where you need to go, right? Get in there, get your hands dirty, figure it out. And then how do you build that team along the way, big or small, and figure out, you know, get to that place where you can stop fighting the fires, but actually right. Like focus on the future where you want to go now. So I love that. What's one challenge you're currently facing? We're all human, life's hard. So what is it for you that's tough right now?
We were doing a lot of webinars the last couple of years throughout COVID and all of that. And we were getting lots of leads, good leads, but they weren't necessarily the size of leads that we were wanting. So my main focus the last few months has really been trying to get those bigger clients in the door, that bigger sell in the door, which of course they're harder to sell to in some aspects. It's a longer sales process too. You got to talk to different people. There's more people involved in that process. And that all, you got to educate all of them too at the same time. So yeah, my goal right now, it's just to get those bigger guys in the door so my sales guy can go in and do what he needs to do. And so I'm having to kind of change my marketing tactics to market to those bigger guys because the smaller guys are hanging out where I was. So I'm trying to hang out with the bigger guys now.
The big guns. You're stepping up.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a challenge a lot of companies are facing, especially when you sort of, you know, I'm working with a startup and one of the things they said is like there comes a point where you gotta put your big adult pants on and actually like step up to the plate. And that sounds like that's where you are and it's exciting. And so yes to that. So let's talk about you've been leading into webinars and email marketing for a long time. It sounds like that's shifting for you, or are you still maintaining that while adding on?
We're still maintaining it while adding on. We're switching some of the messaging in the webinars to kind of gear it towards those bigger guys. So the smaller ones won't even attend. It's not a mandatory event that they go to. It's something that they choose to go to. So kind of marketing it towards the correct prospect. I think that was something that it just took me a second to kind of figure that out. The email marketing, we have a lot of success with it. We get quite a few meetings doing the email marketing. I've learned to keep it just as short and simple as possible. People like it when you're straight to the point and not wasting anyone's time. I send out one email a week, whether it be educational or just checking in to say, hey, I'm here if you need us. Addressing those pain points that these guys have. And we get meetings doing that. I think the last time we spoke, I had mentioned direct mail and how we had just started kind of picking that back up. That was something the company was doing way before I even started. And I want to say it was June, I think, that we picked it back up, where we've been sending out either one or two pieces a month to a list of about 250. And my sales guy, Davin, has been going in and reaching out, following up with these guys, making sure they got his letters, postcard. We sent out a cool little postcard for Halloween that was about just cybersecurity and how it's always spooky season, you know, in the cyber world, there's always stuff to be scared of. And it was just kind of making it a more playful kind of pitch rather than something else. And we're not really pitching too hard. It's just as, hey, like, give us a call if you're in need of these services. We're your go-to person. And we've gotten some meetings from that as well.
Okay, let's take a huge step back. I want to dig into both of these things because I feel like people are struggling with those sort of like getting caught by the shiny objects, right? The AI, the TikTok of the world, right. And like trying to get out in front and do like the cool new thing. Yeah. And you're not, which I find fascinating, but also like a great reminder to us all. It's like there's beauty in the basics, and let's like be kind, rewind, and that's great. Before we get there, you mentioned you basically have a list. Mm-hmm. You have a list of 250 folks that you mail to, which I need to unpack with you because I need to understand how on earth we're doing that, especially in a remote world now. And then you also have your email list that you're emailing, you know, once or twice a week. But how did you build those lists?
Yeah. So it's been a long process with building the list. We have used something called Seamless AI in the past. So that helps you can put in a name and it'll give you their physical address so you can direct mail market to them. And then, of course, the last 4 years, I've done lots of lead magnets, those call to actions where it's just a simple form, you know, sign up, get on our list, get informed. We have a really big list that's just like, it's not even our marketing list. It's called Cybersecurity Threats and Warnings. So we have that even aside from our marketing list where if there's a big, I don't know, say a breach in Google Chrome or LastPass, we can send out an alert to everybody and let them know, hey, something's up, you know, change your passwords or, you know, do the update, whatever it might be. Also, we working with the associations and the different groups that we've worked with, they will give us the attendee list and we're able to go and market to them like after the fact. And that's an easy way just to follow up. Hey, we saw you came to our webinar. You know, do you have any questions? Are you in need? How can we help you? Are you happy with your current support?
Okay. So standard in a good way. Standard of like the tried and true lead generation opportunities. I love what you're saying about like this wonderful value of just getting updated. I think there's definitely, you know, opportunity there for people to find those niche, like what your audience truly cares about and how to keep them informed. I want to touch on something you said around finding people's home address. Is it home addresses?
No, it'll be the business address.
Okay, that makes me feel a little better.
I was like, yeah,
that's curious, like cybersecurity, and yet we can access people's data. That sounds
this
conflict of interest. Okay. So you know because you have the contact and you have basically their work email address, you can look up the company, which then looks up. Okay.
Yep.
With a remote world now, you are still finding that people are getting your direct mail postcards, even though they're going to the offices, obviously. I don't know how companies do it. I guess there's a whole bunch of ways to do it now. You know, whether it gets scanned and then a picture gets sent or like gets forwarded on. I guess people figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, they'd have to. People still send mail. I mean, it's even here at my apartment. The reason I go to the dentist I go to is because they sent me a postcard in the mail and it caught my attention.
So talk to me about the direct mail piece, because I have not heard people doing this before. And I think when we went remote, it was kind of like off the table, like direct mail's dead. Join the club. And yeah, we're not going to start asking people's for personal, you know, that's always the tricky part. My business partner, brilliant human, found a way around this where he'll know where, he won't know their address, but he'll know what city they're in. And so he'll call a florist in their city and say, this is our contact. Here's their phone number. If you could give them a call and figure out where they live, and then you can go deliver the flowers. I always thought that was like a great way, like to figure out how to, you know, deliver a personal message. So has it just been postcards? Have you done anything, you know, customer success wise? What has direct mail done for you?
We also send out long form letters. So, I mean, not super long, but a 2-page letter. And I'm sure you've heard of Ogilvy and the copywriting styles, and, you know, having certain fonts catches the eye more than another font for a heading. And so we really focus on making sure the letter is not only eye catching, but appealing and something they'd want to read. Because, I mean, if you get a letter in the mail, it's like you don't have very long when your eyes look over it. Is this trash or is this something worth reading? And we've really crafted each message inside of it to something that we see as a pain point in a lot of the prospects we're talking to or our current clients. And like the last one that we just wrote, it was kind of, what was the title of it? Like, how does your current IT support staff or firm stack up? And then we added a quiz as a separate page to where they can actually like do a little self-assessment if they believe that their IT support maybe isn't where it should be. And it's like, if you don't answer yes to every box, you know, you could be accepting the substandard support and lacking in your IT and cybersecurity needs. And of course, we offer an assessment in the letter too. So if they are interested in meeting with us, we do give that out for free. Those cost hundreds of dollars, but it's something that we do to get our foot in the door. Another reason we stop with the smaller guys is because it's just not worth the time to like sit down and do an assessment like that. And right, we kind of figured that out and we've just adjusted as we've gone.
Sounds like a switcher campaign, because it sounds like you're saying to assess your current IT, whether it's internal or external, it's kind of like, well, instead of them, you want to use us and here's why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've also had quite a few people reach out locally that haven't been happy with their local IT. And, you know, they just know us from even just driving down the street. And so I've kind of taken that knowledge that I've been hearing around that some people just aren't happy with their current support, and going to use that against, or not against, but for my favor, and having them assess their current setup. And it also, it's good too, if they don't want to move forward with us, it's a good guidance to kind of run by, you know, or if they're not using password managers, well, that may be something that their IT guy could look into and they can start that conversation. So it's just a good resource too.
Companies still aren't using password management tools.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like the lowest of the lowest hanging fruit right there. Get on that, folks. If you're listening right now and you're not using a password manager.
Yeah. Yeah. Important stuff.
Rock on. In terms of when you say local, are you talking about like, so I'm on an island as well, and I do find, good to know. Thank you, Peter. I do find that there's something about this island in particular that has its localness to it.
Right.
Like, I saw this amazing ad, devastating, but so true. And it was for drinking and driving. And they're like, it was this whole concept, and I can't remember the exact words, but it was like, if you were to drink and drive and you were to get in an accident, chances are the person you're in an accident with, you're going to know, or somebody, like it's a small community. So like, pay attention to what you're doing.
Right.
And I just don't think you really get that anywhere else, especially in the U.S. with how big it is. And so when you're saying local, is it that kind of local, like in a small community, or is it like...
I'd say so. Fort Smith is where our home office is in Arkansas. And it's, I mean, a big city for Arkansas, but it's really not that big. And my boss, he used to have a radio show back in the day. And so a lot of people know him from that. We have good just brand recognition. People know us around town. And our office is located on a very busy street that, I mean, if you're just driving through town, I mean, everyone's driven past it. It's right there. We've got our logo on the front. We've got a Tesla with a company logo. So just that driving around kind of catches people's attention in a small town in Arkansas.
Yes. I mean, the small town living, like going to people you trust, I think makes such a huge difference. I know we're global and things are decentralized now and remote working is real, whether we want to believe it or not, but there is still beauty in like knowing that somebody understands the, especially when it's a bit of a niche little area that you're in and has its little quirks.
Yeah, most definitely.
So are you doing a lot of local marketing then in your area, or are you pretty much trying to be national, global? What sort of your...
We're national. We focus on national and we're branching out to Canada and Mexico. Locally, I don't do anything specific. I mean, all of my marketing, you can say, is done nationally. The direct mail pieces are more local. Like there's more Arkansas, Oklahoma, like not even local, but like semi-local, you know, by the states, Missouri, Texas, Louisiana, just like the whole crew over there. It's kind of a mix. You get phone calls all the time. People go to our website and it's just because they know who we are. And I know all of our clients, they're happy with their support and they're telling their friends about us. We get referrals and it's a small town. People talk. Word gets around.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I grew up in a small town and word certainly got around. And then if you went to the grocery store, you were going to run into somebody you knew. Inevitably. And then I moved to this island and it is this same idea, which is a blessing and a curse if you're in a rush.
It kind of felt Hawaii too. I didn't expect it to be like this, but I mean, you go anywhere, there's a chance you might see someone.
A good chance. I gotta say, island living has been such a joy. It's nice to run into somebody who, like, it's totally different island living. But island, small community, nonetheless. I don't know how it is in Hawaii, but one interesting, let's just share this for a second, because I think this is helpful in people, like, getting back to basics a little bit. So one thing about Guernsey in their local marketing efforts I have found is like truck and car wrap, like the amount of advertising that's on trucks is fascinating. If I want to figure out who my next carpenter is going to be, I don't go on the internet or look at Facebook or Google. I just look around me as I'm driving and take pictures of cars.
There's a lot of billboards in Arkansas. I think like billboard out here in Hawaii. I don't know if they're like illegal, but there aren't any billboards because I guess it takes from the natural beauty. So there's no billboards here. It's not allowed. No signage. We get to see the pretty views.
That's fair, though. I mean, that's the point I'm trying to make is this idea of. Within your, so what marketing have you seen any interesting marketing in Hawaii that's been a little bit more local?
I mean, just walking down the street, we have benches and stuff on benches, but it's not any, it's even, I feel like I saw more of that in Arkansas than I do here. I know, I mean, we still have newspapers and TV, and I see a lot of ads on my phone, lots of ads, like just on Instagram for the newer, like upcoming, trying to bring in the younger crowds. Lots of ads and just word of mouth. Yelp is a big thing out here. People love Yelp. Yeah. I had never really used it until I moved here. And that's how I found like my pest control people and a cleaner. Like it's good because so many people leave reviews and it's different out here. I'm going to have to like think about that a little more as I kind of walk around.
I totally pointed it out, so it's totally going to be a thing you see. But I think that's really what I love about this conversation that we totally stumbled in. This was not planned, folks. Is is getting back to, like, we are a remote world now, but it is important, as we talk more about understanding your audience, that even gets down to, like, where they live and what they're doing. And if it's radio in Arkansas, right? Like, people are still listening to radio. Like, that's a huge opportunity right there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Know your audience and know where they live and know, like, how marketing in those communities works. Yelp. Marketing in Hawaii. Check out
Yelp.
I don't like Yelp. I think what they do is kind of gnarly in terms of their best practices. But hey, if that's where people are, here it's Facebook. It's so weird. They don't have websites for their companies. They have Facebook pages.
Yeah, I've seen that out here too. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. I like a good website.
At least we know how to find the company. So it took me forever to figure that out. Like, I was like, why can't I find the thing I'm looking for? And then I go to Facebook and search their name. It's like, they're right there. There it is.
Yeah.
Wild. Okay. Thank you for that detour. Let's circle back to email marketing. We talked about local a little bit. We talked about direct mail, which was really a hot topic for me because I think that's fascinating that you're able to do that. Let's talk about email. So it sounds like you're doing a lot of nurturing versus cold, or both. What sort of?
More nurturing than anything. More nurturing than anything. We also have, like, journeys set up. I know every email software calls it something different. I used to use ActiveCampaign and it was called Automations, but where you can set up kind of a trigger flow where if someone opens this, this happens, or if someone clicks this link, this happens. And it's something me and Davin, myself as executive, we've been working a lot on lately. We just switched CRMs like 6 months ago, which was a big adjustment, learning a new platform. Yeah, I was pretty nervous, but it's been good. It was a good transition. I have nothing bad to say about ActiveCampaign. I loved it. We switched to CRM that's specific to our industry, and they work with IT and cybersecurity providers. So it kind of just fits with us a little bit better. But we've been focusing on, you know, so we don't just reach out cold. If they have clicked on, you know, say 3 or 4 emails, the past emails I've sent out, they've clicked the link, it'll automatically set a task for my sales executive to go in and just give them a call, give them a ring, say, hey, like, I saw you open my email. I've had people say that to me, and, you know, it catches my attention. I'm like, okay, wait, what email? Remind me. And you can kind of get that conversation going. And we also have journeys set up, for example, if they don't answer the phone. So Davin can just go and click the button and it sends out an email to him saying, hey, like, I just tried giving you a call and I missed you. Give me a call back when you can at. And that's it. Like, he doesn't have to type up the email. He doesn't have to send it. And then it sets a follow up task if need be, depending on the situation. It's kind of making everyone's life easier. My goal is I want Davin to be able to focus on these good prospects. And if his funnel is full with just people that are opening our emails, they haven't raised their hand at all. They haven't downloaded anything. They've not attended the webinar. That's a waste of time. And that's straight cold calling. Some people may say it's not a waste of time, but we've found that if they're a warmer lead, we're gonna have better luck turning them into a client and converting them.
I think this is so important because so many times people tend to think that the minute they get a lead, they should be sent to sales.
Yep.
And I think you're rebuking that and saying, no, please don't do that. So what kind of emails do you send on more of the nurture side? You said they're all automation. So this, you know, sort of this happens and that happens. Is it, and you're talking about journey. So it sounds like it's not newsletter based.
We do have a newsletter that's once a month, and we send it out at the end of the month. I've gotten good feedback on it. People enjoy it. I fill it up with, we put 5 blog posts on our website a month, which is good for SEO. So
that's great.
I throw that onto our digest with, like, I think there's 8 total. So then I just throw some other big news. I mean, like when MGM was hacked, that was some, like, the top headline.
Big deal.
You know, people want to know about that. And of course, I put it all in layman's terms where you don't have to be a techie to read this article. You know, it's going to be an easy read, something you can thoroughly enjoy and learn. And of course, I throw our content in the mix. So there, I'm still leading people to our website when I'm sending them this digest. Sometimes I'll throw one of our YouTube videos in there. We do YouTube videos. kind of podcast style with my CEO and sales guy, just addressing pain points, like depending on the vertical. We're really focusing hard on manufacturers right now. So last week I had them make two little videos, 10-minute videos for YouTube that I can repurpose and put on the manufacturing page on the website and post on social media, and then also let YouTube do its thing and hope that it, you know, gains some traction that way. Yeah.
Let's sit there for a second, because I find people get sort of caught up in the doing of the thing, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about content and building content, and you're a very small team. So the fact that you get to lean into your CEO, thank goodness your CEO was a radio star. That certainly helps.
Awesome. Yeah.
So you have sales and your CEO who are able to, it sounds like they have a great relationship and are able to banter. Is there a system process? You just shoot an email to them and say, do this thing, and they go off and do it? Or is it there's structure? Is there like, help people get over the hump of just doing the damn thing?
Right. Well, I request once a month, whenever they can fit it into their schedules, that they just sit on Zoom and record some content for me. And I don't want any more than 30 minutes of their time. I'm not asking for it, but I do give direction on what to talk about, because, you know, they could get sidetracked and the conversation could go who knows where. So like what I had said a second ago, last week I had them do a video on manufacturing. I've been working on our new website, making vertical pages for the industries we specialize in. And I have so much content for like lawyers and accountants and all this. And I'm like, okay, like we've got to get something for the manufacturers. And the like new NIST, there's a new NIST 2.0 framework. You may or may not know what that is, that's coming out. And so like I told them, you know, next week, if that's something that they want to make a short video about, go for it. I mean, it's something that we need content on. And one of our highest ranking videos on YouTube is about NIST. So I know people are looking it up. Let's kind of, I can kind of tell where people are watching. And I will gear my content more towards that. But I also want to make sure it's something that my prospect would be asking or typing into YouTube, you know, like what I guess like we could do for accountants, like how to secure my accounting firm, or how to secure a CPA, how to secure a CPA, or the best cybersecurity tools for CPAs. Something that they would actually type into Google, kind of when you're writing a blog post, it's the exact same thought process.
Yeah. Is there anything you're doing with that content? So you mentioned you ask your CEO and sales guy to have this conversation for 30 minutes, and then you drop that into the newsletter. Are you doing anything beyond that with it? Or, you know, you mentioned you're building these landing pages. Are you turning it into actual like text? How are you like, this is gold, everyone. Like when you get those videos, when you have somebody who can sit down and like banter about these things.
Yeah.
You're sitting on gold. So like, what are you doing with it outside of the newsletter and the landing
page? They're on all of our social media pages, and we'll set it on a schedule. We use Social Pilot for social media scheduling. So it's something that could go out every 3 months, and it's just set there on a schedule. We don't have to worry about it again for the next year if we don't want to. And we know that it's going to be added to our LinkedIn page, our Facebook page, all that fun stuff. And then also it's something that I go and I send to my manufacturing list, because whenever I do get a contact, I make sure I'm specific in the list I'm putting them in. So I have a law list, and then I have, you know, the manufacturing list, and then I have the engineering list. They all get the digest. But then if it's going to be something specific like that I know they're going to want to watch, why not go ahead and send it out and get that engagement with them? There's no like form to fill out. I feel like that's something that does kind of scare people away sometimes, is having to fill out a form to watch the video. You know, like they're already on our email list. You know, it is what it is. And our CRM tells us that they've clicked a link in the video. Yeah, or in the email. So there's no point in even having that download form, because we know if they've at least clicked the video and attempted to watch it. And then at that point, if Davin wants to give them a call, hey, I saw you watched our video on cybersecurity for manufacturers that just came out. Do you have any questions? You know, what are you currently doing to protect your business?
It's every, like, it's, you got the attribution built in. You got the ability to actually, like, re-engage folks, which I think is so hard because not everybody like believes in email. So finding other ways to know that they like went to your website and clicked and and then building those journeys. It sounds like the journeys are bigger than just email.
Yeah, I mean, it ties everything together. Without the journeys, and I know sometimes they're called automations, I feel like everyone's life and marketing could be like a lot messier. Automations, just they're a time saver. I have automation set up to where if someone joins a certain list, they're automatically sent this flow, an introduction email, introducing Davin, what we do. Right now, Davin has a little hit list, you could call it, of like 10, 20 manufacturers that he, you know, he's working on those. He wants them to become clients. They're perfect, ideal prospects for us. And he set up a journey just for them. And everything is specific to the manufacturers. And it contains a case study. And it brings up statistics specifically to manufacturers in IT and cybersecurity to kind of focus on, yeah, we do specialize in this for your industry, which is very important for anyone that does have an IT company or a cybersecurity company. They need to know your industry standards and what you need to have in place, whether it's to be compliant or for insurance purposes.
It sounds like your list in that, like when you take a really big list, I don't know how many people are on your like your master list, and then you start breaking it down, you dwindle that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So it sounds like with the way you've done it, you don't need these giant lists. They're just very targeted. Am I understanding that?
We also have an unknown vertical list too. So like if we don't know where they belong, like they don't fit in one of my mass categories of law or manufacturing or one of the main guys that I'm actually building content for. Like I think we have like an insurance list that I don't really market. They're not our ideal, but they're there. We don't have any insurance clients, but they could, you know, maybe in the future. It just, we haven't gotten any insurance clients yet, but we do have some like that in education. It's good to grow because then you can see who's showing interest in you, what vertical is showing interest. And, you know, we've got more law clients than we do anything else. So I really focus on law, building content for law, marketing to law, but I also have these other guys too.
So how are you? I think having all these lists is really like fascinating in that you're able to do it with so walk me through, like, this feels really big now, right? We've taken it and we've talked about all these things you're doing, which, oh my gosh, as one human, I don't know how you're doing it all. I imagine it's a lot of caffeine and whatever you're having, I want some too. Walk me through like how you got started. You've been with this company now for over three years. Did you just start with a newsletter? Like help us all get started in the Kinsey way of.
Yeah, it was webinars. Yeah, webinars. I mean, because we're doing continuing education. I guess I could be a little bit more specific on the webinars for you. We're doing continuing education and different industries require you to get continuing education, say 3 or 4 hours a year to keep your license. So like lawyers, they're part of the Bar Association. They have something called CLEs. They have to go and get however many a year to stay in good standing with the bar. Accountants, they're the same way. They also have CLEs that have to be completed every so often. And of course, they pick the ones they want to go to. They're not forced like, hey, we're having this class, you have to come. They get to pick what they want to go to. So we already know that they're semi-interested just attending because no one's making them be there. I mean, yeah, they have to get the credit, but they could have chosen any other class. And that really just helped us grow from the get-go because when COVID hit, they were all doing those CLEs and these continuing education classes in person. And so we were able to locally go do these presentations. But the second COVID hit, it was easy to just mass do it everywhere. I sat down and I remember I spent, I don't know how long, but I went and found every email for every contact that would be in charge of events at bar associations. I sat down and looked at every state and I grabbed their emails. I made a list. I called. I reached out. I said, hey, we've got this webinar that we could do for you guys. No cost. Strictly educational. We're not trying to sell anything, but it's regarding cybersecurity. They do all the back end work. So they get it approved through the state. You have to submit a slide deck. You have to submit like learning objectives. Sometimes they need a description, like marketing materials, because they do all the marketing for you.
Right.
And yeah. And so it was just, we always would have on the last slide, that's when they let you kind of have a little bit of free reign. And you can offer that free assessment, which we switch it up. We'll offer a free assessment. We'll put our email in there. We'll put a form to download an ebook. You know, we have all these different ways we go about doing it. And so we're able to not only get contact information, but like know exactly who's interested. And yeah, we're excited. I mean, some CLEs, we've had over 100 people. There's been some where there's only 10. And it's like, okay, but if we can still convert, you know, just one of those, it could be worth it. And it gives us that mind share because we are known as the expert in that industry. And these bar associations also know that with working with us. Sometimes they'll throw our content on their website. Of course, I give them permission, but I'll just say, hey, you know, we're a resource for your members. We want to make sure your members are safe and protected. You know, here's an ebook that you can send out to them. And of course, it's branded. It has our contact information on it. But we want to be those go-tos in the industry. And that's definitely worked. People see us as that. And then my boss also wrote two books, which I think kind of helped with the rapport of these guys.
Yeah. No, I definitely feel like writing and books and getting your knowledge out there as a founder has been incredibly helpful. I know another company in cyber who's doing something similar. He just launched a book last week. And it is a great awareness builder and credibility, like the credibility piece in cyber is so important. You got to build that trust. And what better way to build trust than through that educational piece of trying to really arm these different industries who have to get these, you know, really thoughtful degrees to make sure that they can do their job really well. So hats off to you all for finding that educational in. And so that's how you built the lists. And then from there, how did you initially market to them? Like you had the webinar. Now, was the webinar live or was it pre-recorded? Was it CEO who did the webinars? What were sort of...
Yeah, it's the CEO that does the webinars. They switch it up. It's always different. If it's live, they usually record it and then put it in their library for later use, or they'll send it out to people that couldn't make it. It just kind of depends. And then there's some companies that aren't even like an association. And so, for example, like I think it's like CPE Online or something, and they're for accountants. And it's just a website and a company that they focus on providing content to the accountants. And in return, you know, if like with the CPE, and it's called MyCPE. Sorry, I remember now. Yeah, it was MyCPE. You can upload your content on there and people can go in and purchase it, or you can offer it for free, and you can get lists that way too and reach out, follow up, and try and convert.
Let's talk about the email piece, and I want to sort of wrap up here to give people a sense of like, start a webinar, find somebody in your organization who's really knowledgeable and knows how to do these things and can just get on camera and start talking about how important these things are. I love that you're able to do it by industry. That's incredibly handy. Yeah. I don't know that everybody can do that, but man, if you can, like double down on that real hard. And then once you like capture these email addresses and they get into your system, do you immediately tag them depending on what industry they were in? Or did you have to do that over time? What was sort of your process to build that?
I guess depends on who we're doing the webinar with and if it's in-house or not. I mean, if we're doing a webinar for a bar association and I get that list, they're immediately going to be tagged as a law because we know they're law guys. If it's one of our webinars and say I've got 50 people, I'm not going to individually go in and do that. That's a waste of time. So at that point, they'll be tagged as like a webinar attendee, but my sales guy can add them to, or they'll be in the, they'll be added to the unknown vertical list. And then as we get to them or look at them or they appear, we will specifically go and switch them as they need to be switched. And if they attend a webinar, we try and reach out. I mean, give them a phone call within that week it's so fresh on their mind. And we've crafted the webinars to where we hope that after seeing it, we don't have to do much more education at that point, and they're ready to set the meeting because we've already hit all their pain points and revealed the objections that we hear most commonly.
That happens? Like, you do a webinar and then you set a meeting? That's like,
yeah,
a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even to this day.
Yeah. You could put the little meeting link in the Zoom chat and people will just go and click it and just set time on the calendar. That's like the most ideal situation. Yeah, it does happen.
Yeah. Well, it's holy grail.
We've crafted that message. I mean, I have spent so much time on slide decks with the CEO just really thinking about how we can make it so good that they don't really have to think twice about it once we hit that last slide. And we're not even trying to sell them. We're trying to educate them.
Yeah. I think that's where the trust comes in, right? Like, it's not about we don't want to work with you if you're not ready to work with us or know how to work with us. You know, we're bringing them along.
Yeah.
So, Kinsey, you sort of landed in this beautiful role. You've had this incredible journey so far. I can't wait to see where you go. I'm going to be keeping an eye on you. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Anything else? You know, we've talked about local. We've unpacked so much here. But is there any sort of like last tips and tricks that you found, like something you know now that like you wish you knew 3 years ago walking into this job?
It's all about picking the right prospect, because when I first started, I didn't know who I struggled to figure out who that ideal customer was going to be. I focused on one vertical and it was the water industry. And I realized that they are an older age group that doesn't really understand technology nor want to deal with it or buy it. So I wasted a lot of time. I don't want to say completely wasted, but I spent a lot of time trying to work on these guys and educate them to just get no sales. It wasn't working. And I realized at that point, okay, I'm selling to the wrong people. But then when I'm selling to lawyers or accountants, they see the importance of how important their data is. And if it gets out, what could happen to not only their reputation, but their business? They could go out of business. It's like 60% of businesses that do go through an attack go out of business within that year. It's a pretty high statistic. So, and it clicks for them.
So nice when you have the product market fit. Man, it makes everything easier.
It does. Yeah.
Kinsey, this is amazing. I'm so grateful. Before we close out, you are more than a marketer. You clearly live in the beautiful Hawaii. So you do more than hopefully sit at your computer and work all day.
Yes, I promise.
In the last 3 years and the change of the world, other than moving to Hawaii, you've already used that one. You can't use it again. Okay. What new hobbies or life-changing events have sort of happened for you since?
I learned that I like paddleboarding and freediving with sharks. I love swimming with sharks. You can pay some money for a boat to take you up North Shore and you just get in the water and swim with them. It's fun.
What island are you on?
Oahu. Yep.
The North Shore. So I had to imagine it was, oh my gosh, swimming with sharks. Well, if you would like to go swimming with sharks and you're going to be in Hawaii, you let Kinsey know and she'll tell you where to go. Kinsey, where can people find you if they want to learn more about these marketing tactics you're using and how to do them better?
You can just find me on LinkedIn, Kinsey Haynes. My email's on there, kinsey.haynes@kirkhamirontech.com. And feel free just to check out our website or any of our social media pages, kind of look and see what we're doing and maybe string some ideas for you.
I love it. Ugh. Thank you so much. And thank you for our listeners for hanging out with us. So grateful to have you here. If you like this episode, please like, subscribe, and share. This episode is brought to you by MKG Marketing, the digital marketing agency that helps cybersecurity and complex B2B brands get found via SEO, digital ads, and analytics. It's hosted by me, Carrie Gard, CEO and co-founder of MKG Marketing. And if you want to be a guest, DM me. Let's hang out. I'd love to have you on the show. Kinsey, I'm so grateful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.